Welcome to City of God, a podcast of the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Dr. Owen Strand, and I'll be your host. Join us each week as we engage the city of man with the biblical wisdom of the city of God. It's not the plan of a young man to die young. It certainly wasn't for Paul Kalanithi. Kalanithi was a neurosurgeon who died at the age of 36, March 2015. Kalanithi had a very impressive pedigree. He was a graduate of Stanford University, both BA and MA. He also had a degree from the University of Cambridge and another from the Yale School of Medicine. By the time he hit his mid-30s, he had achieved the dream of every young doctor. He had a position in a top school and hospital at a very young age. His career stretched out before him. He was married. He was building a family. It really and truly was all that one could hope for and ask for. But then Kalanithi contracted lung cancer and, as I said, died in 2015. After Kalanithi's death, his life memoir, When Breath Becomes Air, was published. It included an afterword written by his wife that told the story of his final days. When Breath Becomes Air has contributed to a national conversation on mortality and should be read by every thinking person who is interested in this subject and also every person who is in some way concerned with the human condition. Kalanithi is an effortless writer, a very fluid penner of prose, and his book will leave a mark. It will, in fact, cause many readers, particularly toward the end of the book, to weep openly or perhaps behind closed doors. Kalanithi's book is part of this expanding discussion that is taking place in 2016 in American cultural life over just how long life is to be, over whether it is a good thing to always seek to focus on bettering one's life, and whether we as a society have lost sight of, in some sense, preparing for death. We can trace the lack of thinking over death, the lack of desire to think about death, to a corresponding lack of interest, at least on the part of some in America, in religion. In other words, the less you are concerned with religious things in general, it's likely to be the case that you're going to be less likely to think about the end of your life and what comes beyond. Kalanithi's book, When Breath Becomes Air, will spark thought for many people, including Christians. Christians have a stake, of course, a major stake in the conversation over mortality. And as I read this important text, I was struck by a number of principles of truths. First, I thought, Kalanithi reminds me that it's necessary and it's even good for us to converse about mortality. In American public life, it's become somewhat common to only talk about living. Think about the commercials we see every day. They're commercials that are designed to give us more lustrous skin, to shed years in the way our face looks, perhaps offering us some kind of plastic surgery such that in our later years in life, our second half of life, we can still retain the glow of the first half. In these and many other ways, we Americans in 2016 are very much encouraged to desire the flower of our youth. And many people are tempted, not just in a physical way, but really in a spiritual way, to think that their life is largely over once they have reached their 20s or perhaps their 30s. Too many people spend a lot of time and energy ruminating over their early years and wishing for the golden days. We are reminded of Uncle Rico and Napoleon Dynamite, who lived by himself and loved to reminisce about the good old days when he was on the championship football team. That figure from that famous film, Napoleon Dynamite, is a caricature, but there's some truth there. And part of what we don't want to do when we are talking only about our earlier years is confront the reality that is growing ever closer to us, namely our mortality. And so that's why it's good for us to remember today that we need to converse about death in some form. And it is even beyond this, good to converse about this saddest of subjects. Indeed, Kalanithi's book rebukes our culture of endless improvement and boundless life. And this is important for evangelicals. This is important for those who lead churches that aim to equip evangelicals to live well before Christ. We need to remember that we are not simply trying to live good lives now, though that is important, but we in truth are trying to in some way prepare for death. Past Christians used to have this focus. The Puritans have gotten a bad rap in academic circles in the last century or so, but the Puritans in general were a movement that understood that life is all too short and happiness can be fleeting in an earthly sense. And so they sought, as pastors in particular, to ready their congregants for the foe that is around every corner in truth, especially in a 17th century context, for example, when many of the Puritans plied their trade. One did not know how many days one had to live. We still don't, but life expectancy was drastically shorter then than it is now. And so pastors felt a burning need to get their people ready to die. Kalanithi is not a Puritan. He's in some sense a theist. But he reminds us today, and even evangelicals who do have a full-orbed doctrine of death and of life, that we are not simply seeking to live a good life. We, in the end, are seeking to die a good death. Christians, you know, have a unique perspective on death. We recognize that death is our enemy, and we, in fact, know what every human heart senses but cannot fully understand. We know why death is such a dread foe. It's not simply because our physical existence ceases. Death, in fact, in the body is only going to give way to death of the soul. If we are outside of Jesus Christ, we will die for eternity. We will even, in fact, be punished by an almighty and righteous God for all eternity in hell. And so we know that, according to Genesis 3, when Adam falls, when Adam and Eve disobey their Creator God, we do not simply receive a sentence of physical death, we receive a sentence of spiritual death. And so we know, especially of all people in the world, why death is so terrible. But we also know this as believers. Death is also the gateway to life, true life. This is the remarkable truth of the Christian religion, of biblical teaching, that Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into a culture of death, namely human existence, in order to die. Jesus then did not come simply to live, though his sinless life is very important and paves the way for the merit that we enjoy as Christians through the death of Christ. Jesus did not simply come to live, however. Jesus actually came with death on his mind, and his death is that which cleanses us of all sin when we repent in his name and believe on him as our Lord and Savior. So Jesus transforms many things in coming and in dying, but chief among them is this: death. Jesus altogether refigures death. It's not that death is no longer painful or awful. It definitely is, and we all must reckon with this terrible reality. But for those who die in Christ with real and vibrant faith in Jesus Christ, we recognize that death does not any longer have lasting sting for us. When we die in Jesus Christ, we actually begin truly to live. This is the paradox that is hidden from the world, that one cannot see outside of the Spirit indwelling one's heart and opening one's eyes to the truth of the Christian scriptures, but that every Christian carries with them as truly the greatest comfort we have. We cannot evade death in natural terms. We will face it. We draw near to it every second, minute, hour, and day that we are given. But we need not fear it. We need no longer fear it. Death still asks us to pay a price, and we must pay the price. But in Jesus Christ, death has lost its hold over us. And when we die, we truly live. We are looking forward as Christians to a time when breath becomes air, to recall Kalanithi's powerful title, but also when life becomes true life as God created it to be. Thanks for listening to City of God, a podcast of the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. We're so thankful you stopped by. We encourage you to continue to join the conversation at cpt.mbts.edu, the official website of the center. And we encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well. Join us in coming days as we continue the conversation on what it means to be the city of God in the city of man.